It's a Tuesday. What do? We do a FHN Dial-A-Doc program here every Tuesday morning, and let's head to the Dial-A-Doc program. And with the ear, nose, and throat specialty, Dr. Terry Donat is back with us again today. Hey, Dr. Terry, good morning. Hello, good to talk to you again.
Hi, good morning, Scott. Thank you for inviting me.
Great to always have you. And, of course, I'm sure it's your busy time of year now here with allergy season. Tell us, folks are seeking some relief out there. Talk a little bit about the over-the-counter stuff that's available out there.
Well, certainly the over-the-counter medicines that are available at long-term have been the antihistamines that have been very well tolerated, the non-sedating antihistamines like Claritin and things like that. But the nasal steroids are the things that have really made the difference in the last 20, 25 years. And those medications are single use. You use them once or twice a day and used on a regular basis. You get pretty consistent relief of moderate to severe symptoms. Also then, you know, when those things fail, you can certainly see a provider and get evaluated to see what type of allergies you have so you can avoid them if possible, or get immunotherapy shots essentially for being treated to try and reduce the inflammation associated with those things.
Yeah, and well, what's kind of the line here when folks are out there and they're having a problem now with allergy season, when should they just try over the counter versus when they should seek your help, professional health healthcare as you as a provider?
Yeah, I think it pretty much comes down to how much are their symptoms impairing their quality of life. And you find that their symptoms aren't tolerated by avoiding what you're allergic to, and medications over the counter aren't taking care of those things such as itchy eyes, itchy nose, tearing, swelling of your nose, and congestion of your nose that may lead to sinusitis. Then you should think about seeing a healthcare provider so you can have those symptoms looked at when the symptoms become more severe than you're able to tolerate or manage with home medications.
And Dr. Terry, what type of treatment and therapy do you offer for people with persistent allergy problems?
Well, certainly one of the first things we do is ask people to find out what they're allergic to and work with Dr. Jessen, who's one of our allergists at FHN, to make sure they get evaluated and that we understand what they can stay away from. Then the second is we offer treatments to try and reduce the symptoms, not so much the things caused by histamine, which are the sneezing, itchy nose, itchy eyes, but nasal congestion and inflammation, which leads to sinusitis by means of primarily surgery on the nose for the septum, for structures called the turbinates. That's what actually causes this blockage of your nose. And then balloon sinuplasty, which is very good at opening up the entrances to the sinuses so that the inflammation in the sinuses can be reduced.
All right. So you mentioned, and we talked about this last time you were on, we talked about balloon sinuplasty, a very interesting procedure. Tell the listeners about what you're talking about there.
Sure. So of the sinuses that we have four sets of sinuses. They're paired on each side. And six of those sinuses have openings which are very narrow in people who have recurrent sinusitis. And what we can use is balloons, small balloons that are on a catheter that we know we can place. And much like people have heart procedures or other blood vessel procedures, which is how they were developed, these can be inserted into the opening of the sinus, and that sinus opening can then be expanded so that it's less likely to cause infection. The infection can't be trapped or behind that blocked opening. Sinuses can drain better. And medications that they take, whether it's prescription or over-the-counter, can actually get into the sinus, which normally can't occur.
All right. And so how does that actually work? How do you do that?
Yeah, so in general, the procedure can be done under a general anesthetic, but it's often now done under a local anesthetic with some mild sedation in the office. And what we do is we decongest the nose with a medicine that shrinks down the lining of the tissue so I can see well. We use some topical numbing medicines that then make the area of the nose numb that we're going to be inserting the small balloon. And we insert the balloon into the sinus opening and we expand that balloon for about somewhere between 12 and 20 seconds. And we do that in up to six of the eight sinuses. The ones between the eyes we can't do because those are more like honeycomb. But what that balloon does is there's eggshell thin bone that comprises the opening of these sinuses, and we're able to expand that bone back without causing any injury to the lining tissue, which is done through traditional sinus surgery. So there's a lot less healing time. People can be done in a matter of, first of all, the procedure takes about an hour, but people can be back to work the next day as opposed to a few days because of the traditional sinus procedures.
Wow. So it is outpatient surgery then?
Yeah, it is. Almost all sinus surgery is outpatient surgery, but this is not only outpatient, it's much more convenient in that you can have a very short recovery, be back to work typically the next day if it's not combined with other procedures. And in fact, people who are on blood thinners, which traditionally we would have to have those people stop their blood thinners so we could do surgery, don't actually have to stop that. So provided they don't have to have any other procedures done with the balloons, apart from the balloons, what I should say is that they can actually have that procedure done safely in the office themselves. So this expands the safety and the benefit to people that traditionally did not have that offered to them.
Mm, all right. Well, I've heard of balloons being used on the heart side of things, right? They use balloons there. You guys use balloons there as well, right?
Yeah, I don't. But yeah, they were actually designed by cardiologists who said, hey, these balloons could be used in other places in the body, and that's how these were developed. So the track record, they've been used experimentally since 2005 or so, but they've been well approved and are widely used throughout the U.S. In the last 5 to 7 years.
This is the Dial-A-Doc program. We're talking to ear, nose, and throat specialist Dr. Terry Donate. And Doctor, what about when you say this is a minimally invasive procedure, what does that mean?
So what it means is when we do traditional sinus surgery, what we do is we open up the same sinus openings, but we use small cutters. And those small cutters essentially be like nipping away at a hole in the cardboard box to make that larger, instead of just expanding something into the opening of a cardboard box and expanding that up. So minimally invasive means that we are doing very little trauma to the tissue. It's very little discomfort to the patients having it done. And the same benefit is obtained, which is in traditional surgery, with much less healing time and much less discomfort.
Wow. And so what types of patients actually benefit from this type of surgery then?
So some people come in with large polyps that block their nose, and those people don't traditionally do as well because the polyp has already expanded the opening of the sinus, so you don't need to have that done. Plus, it blocks the nose. But in people who have recurrent bouts of sinusitis, where they might get 2 or 3 or 4 infections a year, they seem to clear between that time. And then they have evidence of nasal congestion or nasal blockage or recurrent infections in between that, have headaches that are persistent, that come and go and change with pressure in the atmosphere. Those kind of people can benefit quite a bit. And it doesn't, one thing about it is it doesn't cure sinusitis. Sinusitis, like allergies, is a chronic inflammation. The goal is to make the sinuses perform their function better, by just making sure that you open up the sinuses so that air can be exchanged, so that mucus can drain, and also so that medications that you take, again, whether over-the-counter or prescription, actually get into the sinus to do their job to decrease inflammation.
I know, Dr. Terry, you're busy all year round, but this is now, what, coming into your busy season now with all the pollen out there?
Yeah, typically this time of year, the trees tend to be more the concern, trees and grasses toward the end of the year, as everything seems to drop their seeds. And so, you know, we urge people to call if they're having problems that they can't manage you alone or with the help of their primary care physicians.
All right. And if people want to learn more or set up an appointment and visit with you, how could they do that?
Yeah, they can call. You can go to our website, fhn.org, or they can call our main number, which is area code 815-599-7770. And one of our schedulers would be glad to put them in touch with me. It's sometimes people would, you know, like to just talk over the phone. And I understand people's concerns right now. The biggest problem that people have is we often have CAT scans, and CAT scans are very difficult to discuss together without seeing each other.
All right. Dr. Terry, great to talk to you. Great information again. Let's talk again soon, all right?
Thank you very much for inviting me, Scott, and I hope all your listeners have a great day.
All right, you too as well. Dr. Terry Donat here today, joining us here this morning. He is the doctor of ear, nose, and throat this morning for FHN, the FHN Dial-A-Doc program here today this morning on The Morning Mess.